On the phones right now, always a pleasure to talk to the Commissioner of Springfield Police, Cheryl Clapper. Good morning, Commissioner. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, I hope.
Just to use you because of your training and your experience to make a comparison. It's being reported this morning now that a Capitol police officer died overnight or yesterday from injuries he suffered during Wednesday's riots. Apparently, I guess he went back to the station and then collapsed there and died. But when you have a protest, and there have been some in Springfield that you've had even on your watch, when you prepare security for an event like that, and you obviously don't know what the attendance is going to be like,
right.
Who is it that makes the decision of how much manpower should be on hand for the event? And how?
We all get together, and I get all my resources together, and we have meetings with state police, the Fusion Center, my crime analysis center. They monitor Facebook, Twitter, and all the social media outlets, and we try to get the best guesstimate we possibly can. And I've been fortunate. I've had the support of the mayor, and you know, what do you need and what do you think you need, and let's get it. And that's why it's always better. You know, it's too bad now. That's just a terrible thing that happened yesterday, but it's always better to over prepare and have the resources you need and get ready for things to go bad, because whatever intentions the crowd has, it can change. People will get inside that crowd and change the mindset, or they can work themselves up into a frenzy and get the adrenaline and do things they wouldn't normally do. So I think we were fortunate. The large protest they had here in Springfield, around 6,000, they were out front. And we were just very prepared, probably overly prepared, but I'd rather have it that way. And I had a mayor, and I had the support to say, first person that does something that should be arrested is going to get arrested. So you have to prepare for that with teams of arresting officers and AMR to stand by, and we had the National Guard, and we were ready to take action. You just need consistency and support from those above you.
But you know, I mean, there's a lot of people, and maybe these are unfair comparisons. It's probably not for me to say, but you know, there are some people who will say, well, you know, there's a Black Lives Matter protest and we got the National Guard, but then a political protest in Washington and they don't get called for hours. So
yeah.
you see that, and you, considering the tenor of the country right now, you know, so divided in so many different ways, you wonder whether the optics are important and maybe even justified in people feeling that way. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, you know, it's probably not for me to say either, Baxton. It's tough. I don't know what the intel was on yesterday's demonstration or protest. Did they expect that many? Did they expect the crowd to kind of build off each other and work into a frenzy and do what they did? Or, you know, it's very tough to say, but it comes down to another message, and I heard it this morning on some news outlet this morning. Law enforcement has been pretty beaten up in 2020. You know, the message given to us is kind of inconsistent and all over the place. You know, we've been criticized for using even the non-lethal weapons, the tear gas, the rubber bullets. We've been criticized for dressing like military people and wearing that kind of and when we do that, when we look military, we wear vests and protection and helmets. It's for protection. You know, it's not that we're going out and attacking anybody. It's that we know what can happen. So there's probably the perfect storm where law enforcement is uncertain what kind of backing we're going to get. How do we act? Do we call in the National Guard, the troops, and look like it's an overkill? Do we not? We've been beaten up, and they didn't really realize, I don't think, what they had yesterday as far as the crowd and what the purpose was.
Yeah, you can't win either way. I want to ask you about the situation among the Springfield Police as far as COVID goes. How many officers out on sick leave right now, and are you next in line as first responders? And by that, I don't mean police in general. I mean the Springfield Police, because I know some West Springfield Police have already received vaccines. Where do you guys stand on that now?
Right right now we stand at about 26 officers that are positive with COVID and are out. I have about 10 more that are quarantined or waiting test results or have been in contact with someone who is positive and they're staying out until they get a negative test. We were notified yesterday by Commissioner Helen Calton to sign up for the vaccine. She put the website out. I'm happy to say so many officers are taking. I think we filled up a lot of the first available time slots, so we'll have to keep going with it. I get my vaccine right after I get off the phone with you. I'm going down to 311 State Street and getting the vaccine, and then the rest of the troops will be all next week. So I'm hoping to get a large percentage of the officers here vaccinated because it's really gone through this building.
But, of course, it's not mandated, so you can't force officers. Can you, I don't know whether the union allows this, can you reassign officers if they choose not to be vaccinated? Can you take them off the street and put them inside?
I could do it, but I'm assuming, yes, the union would probably grieve it because I can't mandate the shot, so it would be like a punishment. I'm sure that's how they would look at that. I'm hoping that after the first group here gets the vaccine and even the second shot and people see that, you know, it's safe and it's the way to go, it's the way to protect yourself, that more will get it in the second wave. I'm hoping we don't have to go to a mandated or reassignment if you don't take it. Like I know they do sometimes in the hospitals. If you don't get the flu shot, they're limited where they can go.
This is Springfield Police Commissioner Cheryl Clapperd on the phone with us. You know, we talked about oversight a few minutes ago about the police, and I know there's a hearing that's coming up this month in a couple, I think in like 2 weeks, at Hampden County Superior Court, and it's really between the mayor and the city council as far as appointing a 5-member police commission to oversee all kinds of stuff. And we've talked about this before, and I know you're not really in favor of an appointed police commission, but if this hearing decides that the mayor has to appoint one, is there anything, I mean, I assume that either you will be at this hearing or have something to say about this, but if it is determined that that has to happen, how would that change how you do your job?
You know, Max, I don't know, and I haven't really gotten involved in it, the hearing or the attorneys. You know, I'm letting it play out, and I'm letting the mayor do as he wants to do. It makes sense to me to have one commissioner here in charge. The department is large. It's a daily operation. You don't need politics involved in that level of the decision-making. That's what I've always fought against, and I've worked both. I've worked under both systems, and what happens when anybody is appointed to run a police department, if they have promoting and disciplining and firing and hiring as part of their authority, they're going to be contacted by people. You know, there's contacts of every officer here, family members, people who have been arrested and are upset with us, who have gotten a citation and they're mad at an officer. And it's just natural. It's human nature. You're going to be influenced, you know, and that's just what I'm trying to keep out. I think this is working. There have been several disciplinary hearings as of late, and there will continue to be. I'm holding them accountable. The body-worn camera program has helped them. It hasn't hurt them in some outside complaints. So I just think being the one person in charge of the department with a civilian oversight as far as the disciplinary hearings go with that Civilian Police Hearings Board is the way to go in the correct way. And whatever happens in that hearing and however it ends up, I'm here and I'm doing the job and I will continue to do so until they tell me see you later. Then I'll find somewhere comfortable and warm. I'm sure I'll be okay.
But, you know, for all the aggravation that you've had to deal with since you've become commissioner, and even, you know, what you've dealt with when you were deputy chief and all that, and it always was a police chief until the control board came in, and then they're the ones,
right.
if I remember this correctly, they're the ones who came in and turned it into a commissioner's position, took out the civilian aspect of it, and then allowed the leader, the commissioner, to be in charge of hiring, firing, and discipline As someone who probably is close to the end of this part of your career, does it really, you know, and this isn't like one of those things where the mayor's term turns from 2 to 4 years, but it's as of the next mayor. If the court decided to put a police commission back in place, it wouldn't be when you retire. It could become immediately. Does it concern you after you're gone about which way it's done?
It does, John. It concerns me enough as to that's why I'm still here. You know, I mean, you're right. I've done my part, and life could be a lot easier for me. But for the women and men that are here now, and for the people that live in Springfield and are affected by the way the laws are enforced, to me, this is the way to go. This is the safest, best way to go for everybody's career here and for the people that live in the city. So that's why I stay. I believe in this format, and that's the way the country is going. I don't believe in political influence in promotions, hiring, firing, and disciplining. I think it has to be consistent, and that's why I'm working with the DOJ and the new reform bill. Both want to recommend a consistent way of disciplining and an early warning intervention for officer behavior, and I believe in that. Keep the politics out of those aspects of it, and let us run the department at the same time, have a civilian piece so that people see we're transparent and they have confidence in us.
You know, you talked when we talked a few minutes ago about the whole Capitol thing and cooperation among agencies, and here in Springfield a week ago, it was. And I want to bring this up just to commend the way things were done. You had a state trooper who came into the city to assist on a call, and a person with a gun who actually fired it, and the trooper was hit, and it was actually a Springfield officer, I guess, who was closest to provide aid and help that trooper. And there was a lot of, you know, stuff talked about in the news about that. The Springfield police and the state police are constantly working hand in hand, even within the city, right?
We are, and we have a good working relationship. Colonel Mason and some of his staff were up here visiting us on Wednesday and thanked us for the working relationship and everything that was done the night the trooper was injured. And that's how dangerous this job is right now. I mean, you know the amount of guns we take off the street, and I think we've already had 4 taken off for 2021. And they're out there, and now we're getting people who are brave enough and bold enough that they shot at those two cruisers as those two cruisers were responding to the ShotSpotter. So these officers weren't even out of their car. So we're not talking any type of de-escalation is available or any kind of planning is available. They're pulling up, and they're being fired upon. And one bullet strikes that trooper in the thigh, and 2 bullets strike the Springfield police cruiser. And they would have been just as happy to see more officers hurt, I'm sure. So the professionalism and the training that those 2 officers showed, and hopefully we get we should get the radio broadcast out because it is so professional. They were calm. They said they've taken fire. The trooper is hit. They requested the ambulance. My officer gets out and helps him with a tourniquet, and then other officers just come and cordon off the scene, and a canine helps us, and 2 guns are found, and one of the shooter is found. So that couldn't have gone any better for us. We're proud of it, and we're proud of our relationship with state, and we're proud of our relationship right now with the federal agencies, the FBI and the ATF, U.S. Attorney's Office. We're all in here working on the Martin Luther King Church arsonist. So that's what we need, because we're up against it. We need the best people. We need the most information we can possibly get to keep us all safe.
Springfield Police.
Do you take that cruiser out of service that got hit with the 2 bullets, or do you put one of those decals around it that look like broken glass?
Well, if it didn't hit the gas tank, we might have. Our need is to keep it right in service, but unfortunately, one hit the gas tank. So,
Springfield Police Commissioner Cheryl Clapperwood, we appreciate the time today. Good talking to you.
Same here, guys. Have a great day.
You too. It's 8:25 on Rock 102. New Year.